Good morning, everybody. Great to be with you this morning. Last week, if you were here last week, you'll remember that we were thinking about how God called Abram, a man called Abram, to follow him, to go to the land where he'd called him, where he would show him. God was going to bless him and make him a blessing. And not just him, but his descendants would be turned into a great nation and they would be a blessing. And we were recognizing how actually that involves us. You know, as followers of Jesus, we are, spiritually at least, the descendants of Abraham. And how God wants to bestow the same promises upon us. He promises to bless us. And his intention is that we will be a blessing to the world around us. Okay, so we are blessed and a blessing, and we remembered that God blesses us because he loves us. That's why he blesses us. But he also loves our friends, our neighbors, our workmates, even our enemies. He loves them too, and he wants to bless them through us. And so God's plan for us, we were thinking last week, was to be blessed and a blessing. God wants to bless us and he wants us to be a blessing. And over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be thinking about how we can do that. And we're going to use the acronym BLESS, okay, to do that, to help us to remember what we're learning. There it is on the screen, BLESS. And each letter you'll see of the word BLESS stands for a particular key principle that we need to bear in mind. As it will help us to learn and to put into practice what we're learning about how we can be blessed and be a blessing in the world around us. And as we do that, my conviction is that we're going to see more and more and more people drawn to Jesus so that they will experience his blessing and they in turn will be a blessing to the world around them as a result. And they will receive all the love and the mercy and the grace that God has poured into our lives. And don't you want that? I want that. I want that for our friends, for our relatives, for our neighbors and our workmates. I'm longing for that. So as we begin with the first letter, okay, we're gonna do the big reveal in a moment, okay? But before we do that, I just want us to pause just for a few seconds, just to allow God to minister to us and ask him to speak to us as we spend these next few minutes reflecting on what he's saying to us through this passage this morning. So let's take a moment of quiet and then I'll lead us in a prayer and then we'll crack on. Heavenly Father, thank you that your heart is to bless us. And not just us, but all those who we come into contact with each day, your heart is to bless. And thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us and you're calling us to be a blessing. And right now, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to hear what you're saying to us this morning. And it wouldn't just go through here, one ear and out the other, but that it'd sink deep into our hearts, Lord, that we would be changed as a result of what we hear from you this morning. So come, Holy Spirit, we pray, in the wonderful and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so you've all been desperate to hear it. You've not been able to think of anything else all week. I know that. Here's the first letter. The first letter of B is BLESS, and that stands for begin with prayer. Okay, sounds obvious, doesn't it? Begin with prayer. After all, isn't that what being a Christian's all about? Isn't it? I mean, even people who aren't Christians, even people who've never been to a church or picked up a Bible would say, well, Christians, well, Christians pray, don't they? It's what we do, right? But actually, I think that prayer is one of the most underused gifts that we have as Christians. You know, we know that we should pray, don't we? And we might have the best of intentions. But somehow, prayer always seems to get squeezed out by other things. You know, that desire to stay in bed for an extra 20 minutes when the alarm goes off in the morning. Is that just me? I don't think so. Or the lure of our smartphones, or the 1,001 things on our to-do list that day. Life just crowds in, and if we're not careful, it can squeeze prayer out. But you know, prayer is absolutely fundamental to the Christian life. Now, I know what you're thinking at this point. You're thinking, oh no, this is going to be one of those pray more sermons, where we're going to be made to feel bad for not praying enough. Well, if that is what you're thinking, I've got good news for you. That is not my intention this morning. I don't want anybody to feel guilty. Instead, what I want to do is to paint a picture of prayer this morning, which will be so exciting and so compelling that we'll all be inspired to go deeper in prayer. That's what I want to do this morning, because prayer has power. Okay, prayer has immense power. Prayer has the power to transform us, and it has the power to transform the world around us. Do you believe that? Prayer is the way that we receive God's blessing. And it's also how we are envisioned and empowered to be a blessing to others. And, you know, somebody who really understood the power of prayer was Jesus, right? Prayer was his number one priority. Prayer underpinned everything that Jesus did. And Jesus did a lot. Our reading this morning was from Mark's gospel. And Mark is the shortest gospel. I don't know, you may have read it before, you may not, but Mark is the shortest gospel of the four of them. And it's action-packed, it's fast-paced, it's full of Jesus's miracles, the amazing things that he did. And Mark moves from one to another almost without drawing breath. So it's full of words and phrases like immediately and just then and at once and as soon as. Do you get the point? Mark is just bang, bang, bang. He's just firing all these different miracles that Jesus did at us to underline the point of who Jesus is. And Mark doesn't waste his time with minor details or interesting asides. No, he just gets straight to the point. And so what he says in our reading this morning at verse 35, so Mark chapter 1, verse 35, is really, really significant. He says this: very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. You know, Mark wants us to know that although Jesus was a man of action, and that's the picture that he paints of Jesus all the way through his gospel, Jesus is a man of action, yes, but prayer was his number one priority. That's why Mark puts this right at the start of his gospel. Before Jesus did anything else, he would take himself off somewhere quiet so he could spend time with his Father. Because that is fundamentally what prayer is. Prayer isn't about reeling off a list of requests like a shopping list to God. It's about spending time with your heavenly Father who loves you so much. And Jesus knew the love of his Father. And Jesus loved to spend time with him, just soaking in his presence. That's why he got up before anybody else, while it was still dark, and went off to a solitary place to pray, to spend time soaking in his Father's love, spend time in his presence, just being with him and allowing his Father to pour out his love into him. And you know, our Father loves you and loves me in exactly the same way he loves Jesus. Did you hear that? Jesus, the Father loves you exactly the same way that he loves his Son, Jesus. If you don't believe me, have a look at John chapter 17, verse 23, where Jesus says to his Father this about his followers. He says, I've given them the glory that you gave me so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. And then check this out. He says, then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Wow. God the Father loves you and me even as he loves his Son Jesus. That is awesome, isn't it? God loves you. He loves you as much as he loves Jesus. You know, he loves you so much that he sent his beloved Son into the world to die on a cross for you, so that you can come into a relationship with him and experience that love for yourself in this life and in the life to come. And you know, God longs to pour out his blessing into your life right now. He wants you to know his love. He wants you to soak in it. And the main way that he's given us to do that, the main way he's given us to experience his love in that way, is through prayer. So let me ask you a question. When was the last time that you came into God's presence, not with a list of requests, but simply to spend time with him and to soak in his love? I want to encourage you. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you do it all the time, in which case, keep going. Maybe you've never done it. Maybe you do it sometimes, but not often enough. I want to encourage you, wherever you are this week, make some time. Make it a priority, as Jesus did, to come into your Father's presence, just to be with him. And I'll tell you, you will see how it transforms your life, how it transforms your relationship with him and every part of your life. Okay, so prayer is the key to experiencing God's blessing in our lives. But it's also what envisions and empowers us to be a blessing in the world. Remember God's promise that he will bless us and that we will be a blessing. Okay, so God's promise is that as we spend time with him, he will bless us. But also it's to envision and empower us so that we will be a blessing in the world around us. You know, when Simon Peter and the others, when Jesus has gone off to this quiet place to pray, okay, early in the morning while it's still dark, and his disciples, you know, Simon Peter and others, go off looking for him. And when they finally find him, and they try to stir him into action, don't they? They say to him, look, everyone's looking for you. What does Jesus do? Does Jesus say, oh, right, okay, you're right, okay, I better come with you then? Does he? No, he doesn't. He says, okay, let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also, because that's why I've come. You know, when he prayed, Jesus didn't just reel off a list of requests. He listened. He listened to his Father. And because he listened, he knew what his Father wanted him to do. So he wasn't swayed when his friends came urging him to go back to Capernaum because there were all these people who were desperate to hear more from him and wanted to see him perform some more miracles. No, because he knew that his Father had a different plan for him. And that was to go to the surrounding villages, to other places, to share the good news there too. And maybe you know what it's like. Maybe you know what it's like to feel the pressure to do something because other people are telling you it's the thing you should do. And maybe it's your other half, or your parents, or perhaps it's your friends, whoever it might be. And if you're anything like me, the urge to do what other people think you should do can be enormous. It can be huge, especially if it seems like a good idea. The thing that they're telling you, well, yeah, that seems like a good idea. I'd better go and do it then. But the thing is, a good idea is not necessarily a God idea. Going back to Capernaum probably seemed like a good idea. There were people who wanted to see Jesus again. They wanted to hear him again. But, you know, Jesus seemed to know that although it might have been a good idea, humanly speaking, it wasn't a God idea. It wasn't what his Father wanted him to do. God had a different plan for him, to go to those other villages because there were people there who needed to hear and experience the good news too. People who were struggling. People who were without hope. People like that man with leprosy that we meet in verse 20. This man was desperate. He'd lost everything. Because leprosy is such a contagious disease, and in those days there was no cure. And that meant that if you had leprosy, you were compelled to leave your family home. Nobody would go near you. Nobody would touch you for fear of catching this disease, this dreadful disease. And more than that, of becoming ceremonially unclean. If you were a good Jew, you were not supposed to touch anybody with leprosy, because it would make you unclean, as well as risking you catching that incredibly contagious disease. So nobody would come near you, let alone touch you. And so there he was, this man with leprosy, disfigured, an outcast, abandoned, and utterly without hope. Except maybe not, because there was Jesus, and everybody had been talking about the amazing miracles he'd been doing, how he'd healed the sick, cast out demons, and all the other amazing stuff. Reports had come through to this village where this man with leprosy was. Maybe, just maybe. And so the man decides to take a chance. He does something he should never, ever have done. He approaches Jesus. He falls on his knees and he begs him, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." And then Jesus, moved with compassion, so deeply moved by this man's situation, does something that he should never have done. Jesus reaches out and touches him. "I am willing," he says, "be clean." And immediately the man is healed, restored to full health, and restored back into the community, an outcast no longer. And all because Jesus had taken the time to listen to his father. Because this was no accidental meeting. It had been orchestrated by God. God wanted to heal this man. He wanted to set him free. And so he directed his son to go where he would meet him. And still today, God is moved, deeply moved by compassion when he sees people weighed down by sadness, sickness, and sin. It grieves his heart, and he longs to move in their lives. He longs to set them free, just as he did the people whom Jesus healed when he walked the earth. And God, our Father, wants us. He wants us to bring healing and deliverance to those he leads us to. Because the same Holy Spirit who descended upon Jesus at his baptism lives in us. He lives in us. And now we are together. We are the body of Christ. And God wants us. He wants you to bring hope and healing and peace to those whom he's sent you to. He wants you to do the same things that Jesus did. He wants you to bring freedom to those who are imprisoned by fear, guilt, and shame. He wants you to lead people to the hope and the healing that is only found in Jesus. The question is, will you and will I make space in our lives to listen? You know, if I had a bit more time than I have right now, I'd tell you about the times when God has directed me and Abby to particular people and particular places. And maybe you've experienced the same thing. I'm sure a number of you have. But the point I'm trying to make is that God still speaks to us today. He does. To lead us. He still speaks to us to lead us to the places and to the people where he wants us to go. And so we need to be ready to listen. Because when we pray, things happen. When we pray, things happen. God uses us to bless other people. And we get the joy and the privilege of seeing God do amazing things in the lives of other people through us. What an incredible privilege that is. And so what do we need to do to turn this into a reality in our lives? Okay, what do we need to do so we can both be blessed and be a blessing? Well, it all begins with prayer. It all begins with prayer. We need to learn to pray like Jesus prayed. So how do we do that? Just three things I want to share with you this morning, and then I'll wrap up. The first one is this: start each day with prayer. You know, when you wake up each morning, instead of hitting the snooze button on your alarm clock, or worse still, reaching for your smartphone to check your social media or whatever else it is, before you do anything else, why not take time to talk to God? You know, I've got this Fitbit, okay? I told about this last week, I think, and it's fantastic. But every morning, okay, Zach comes in and says, have you synced your Fitbit with your phone, Dad? Because basically what happens is when you get it near to your phone, then it downloads the information from the Fitbit. It adds all your steps onto your previous totals, and all the information gets updated. Okay, so it's about getting this in sync with your phone. But you know, actually, what's even more important, I've decided, and it's probably good that I've decided this, is that I get in sync with God at the start of every day. Before I sync my Fitbit, okay, with my phone, I need to get in sync with my Father. I need to make that connection with him, to allow him to download into my heart, if you like, and into my mind, his love for me, his love for the world, and to reveal to me anything he wants to show me about the day ahead. So I want to encourage you this morning, why don't you do that? The start of every day, before you do anything else, spend time with your Father, get in sync with him, talk to him, and allow him to speak to you. That's the first thing. Okay? So let's start every day with prayer. Okay, that's number one. Number two is this. Let's find somewhere quiet. Okay, that's the second thing. First, start each day with prayer. Second, find somewhere quiet. Somewhere where you can be alone with God for a while. Now, I know all too well that's not easy if you've got kids, particularly small kids, and particularly if you've got small kids who get up at some unearthly hour far before you're ready to wake up. Okay, I know it's not easy, but do your best. Okay, it might not be first thing in the morning, although I find that's a good time for me, but maybe it's a better time for you to do that. But whenever it is, okay, find that time and that place where you can be alone with God and undisturbed. Leave your phone in another room, or at least turn it onto airplane mode so you don't get disturbed. Have a Bible with you as you go. And as you read it, as you read God's word, allow him to speak to you deep into your heart. Allow him to pour his love into your life. Thank him. Thank him for his love for you. Thank him for the joy it is to be known as his child. Thank him for his goodness and his love, and ask him to show you how you can serve him today. Or if you're praying at night, tomorrow, ask him to show you. And then just wait. Just close your mouth, or, you know, the inward voice, the voice of your heart. Just wait and be quiet and listen. Listen to what God wants to say to you. Allow him to speak to you and soak in his love. So that's the second thing. Find somewhere quiet. So start each day with prayer. Find somewhere quiet. And the third one, final tip this morning, is to pray as you go. You know, time alone with God is so, so, so important. It's vital, okay, to spend that time alone with God, to go off to somewhere quiet, as Jesus told us to do. But you know, God doesn't just speak to us in our quiet times, does he? No, he speaks to us all the time if we're open to what he might be saying. And so the third and final encouragement is to talk to God and listen to God throughout the day, as you're on your way to work, as you're at work, when you're doing your shopping or picking the kids up from school, when you're walking the dog, whatever else it is you might do during the day, when you're washing up at the sink, doesn't matter what it is, but throughout the day, keep on coming back to your Father, acknowledging his presence, thanking him for his love, and listening to what he might want to say to you that day, where he might want to direct you, who he might want you to make that phone call to. You know, at the moment, as we're in lockdown, it's very difficult to go and see people, isn't it? You know, it's difficult for us to do that. We're prevented from doing that in many ways. But we can still pick up the phone to speak to somebody who may be struggling. We can still send an encouraging message on WhatsApp or write somebody a letter. All kinds of things, all kinds of ways that we can connect with people and share God's love with them. We can drop a little gift off at somebody on somebody's doorstep. The list is endless. I wonder what God is calling you to do to be a blessing to the people that he's put you amongst at this time. So there you are, three things that I want to encourage us all to do. Start every day with prayer. Okay, find somewhere quiet to be alone with God, to listen to him as well as talking to him. And then thirdly, pray as you go. As you go through the day, each day, keep on checking in with God, getting in sync with him, asking him to reveal his will for you for that day. You know, if you put these things into practice, I promise you, it will revolutionize your life. You will know God's love and his blessing like never, ever before. And you will be envisioned and empowered to be a blessing to those people that he has given you to serve and to reveal his love to. And, you know, just imagine if each one of us as church, okay, if together we all commit to doing that, just imagine the impact it will have on our church family, but also on the communities, the neighborhoods where God has put us. Imagine. So together, let's do it. That's letter B, the first letter of bless. Begin with prayer. Let's do it. Let's put this into action and let's see how God moves. Let's pray now. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for your incredible, awesome, death-defying love for us. Thank you, Lord, that you delight in blessing us. And there is no greater blessing than being in your presence and soaking in your love. And Father, we thank you that you've called us, you've given us the immense privilege of being a blessing, of being bearers of good news to those people who you've put us alongside. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, we pray for you to fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. And help us, Lord, to put into practice those disciplines that we've been thinking about this morning, to start each day with prayer, to find somewhere quiet where we can spend time alone with you, and to pray as we go through the day. Oh God, we long for this. And so we pray that you'd help us to put it into practice so that we may receive more of the blessing you love to pour into our lives and that we may be equipped and envisioned to bring that blessing to those whom you've sent us to serve. Open our eyes, Lord, and open our ears. We want to go where you lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.